And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And boom, we've got a new Visual Studio 14 CTP3 is now out there.
That's right.
So lots of fit and finish stuff in here, but probably the thing that I want to talk about first is this custom layout. So the idea is that you can actually save a custom layout with the ability to remember where all of your windows are. So like when you're in a debugging mode, maybe you like to have the windows organized this way. When you're writing unit tests, maybe you want to organize the windows this way.
Mm-hmm.
And now what you can do is you can actually save those custom layouts on one machine, and with CTP3, they actually start to roam with you on other machines so that when you go home, you have access to those same custom layouts. So that's really cool.
Very cool.
And then also, let's talk about perf tips.
Yeah, so perf tips is actually a very cool idea here. So it's basically information at a glance while debugging. So this is, I just F5-ing an app, mm-hmm. right? So normally what a lot of people do is, you know, basically do a, create a stopwatch before the method,
yep.
after the method, maybe write it out to a trace so you get information there. The idea here is even within Visual Studio, as you're stepping through, you're able to see the time elapsed from kind of the statement there. So you can see things like, you know, this took 1,391 milliseconds or, you know, 1.4 seconds, and then the actual CPU time as well. So this is how much, you know, CPU time. It could have been things like file I/O or network I/O that represented the other thing. So I love this because it just gives you performance information. So as you're F5-ing through your code, you're like, wow, that really shouldn't have taken 8 seconds. I don't need to do anything special. I don't need to change myself into, I'm now profiling.
Right.
Performance data is everywhere. Performance data is just a regular part of my dev test F5 process.
Right, and I imagine I might want to go into profiling mode later to get even more information.
Sure.
But at least at my fingertips, I get to see, okay, does this look like it's right?
Like you may want to diagnose, where did that, let's see the 1,391
right.
MC, the breakdown, or what was the battery implications of that 266 CPU, so you can see the battery using some of the performance tools that already exist.
Exactly, yeah. Cool, awesome. Well, my code is just natively fast, so I don't need this, but I'm really
glad you're running native. Okay.
Yeah. So the other thing that's accompanying with this release is the new version of the .NET Framework vNext. So you cannot today download this separately. So you do have to install Visual Studio 14 CTP3 in order to get this.
Or use the virtual machine.
Or use the virtual machine that's in the gallery, but it's not shipped separately is what I'm trying to say. And this is, again, mostly fit and finish, bug fixes, and some other small rocks that they've put into this release. If you're doing any Project K development, then the next version of ASP.NET, you'll want to get this release. If you're doing any Ryujet development, certainly you want to get on top of
this. Yeah, the reason I like this post too is because it gives you an overview of all the things that are in .NET. What does .NET Framework vNext mean?
Right.
Because a lot of times we had seen separate posts on just Ryujet or just .NET Native,
yep.
and then, you know, the latest one being ASP.NET vNext, this kind of lays it all out
right.
for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Cool, so something coming out of your team.
Yes.
Finally, you got around to shipping something.
Okay, yeah, every quarter, thank you. Okay, you ship PowerPoint, fantastic.
I do.
So Matt Sampson has a great blog post on Azure Resource Manager. So this is a preview tool mm-hmm. that allows you to use some of the new tools in the new Azure portal, and specifically Azure Resource Manager, which allows you to describe resources, and by resources I mean like my website is going to have, it's going to have one website, a SQL database, and maybe storage account, maybe a cache.
And a virtual machine. Sure.
All of those things are resources, and how do I manage my application in that? So the way it's done is declaratively, and by that I mean a JSON file that includes like what are the properties or attributes of my virtual machine, mm-hmm. Of my website, of my database, and mm-hmm. so on. So this tooling has the Visual Studio integration and includes some of the templates actually from the Visa Gallery. So you can do website and website plus SQL database. And even on those examples, it includes things like App Insights resources to be able to track how your application is performing. So this is like the how do I get sort of a lap around Azure Resource Manager tools that plug directly into Visual Studio. So if you are looking right. to do things like define those kind of topologies and templates, This is kind of the tool that you're going to want to do and see how you can actually create a resource group, deploy a template to a resource group, build a new one, and so on.
And we should clarify, when you say Ibiza Gallery, people may not know what you mean. You're talking about the new Azure Portal Preview.
Azure Portal
that
Preview.
We released in preview at Build, and we've continued to make some enhancements to. So how does it actually get those templates from the Azure Gallery? Is it looking dynamically at the templates that exist behind the scenes and then pulling those down?
No, the reason why is because you may not want all those templates.
Okay.
So to give you an example, I'm not sure what you would do with a WordPress template inside of Visual Studio.
It's none of your business what I do with it.
I don't think I want to know.
So you scoped it down.
Yes, we absolutely did. And specifically, it's basically hard-coded to those two.
Okay.
But it's really like, what are the right ones for in Visual Studio that a developer would care about?
Okay.
Is kind of the high-level thing.
Awesome. Cool. All right, we've talked about this before. It used to be called, help me Dan, was Bing Code Search. Right, so Bing Code Search and the Bing Sample Gallery have now been combined into one tool called Bing Developer Assistant. It works with Visual Studio 2012 and Visual Studio 2013. And so they brought those tools together. They've also added one new capability, which is the ability for you to just get some IntelliSense. As you're typing, it will look at the section of code that you're in, and it will try to infer based on where you are at contextually what samples it wants to present to you. So this is super cool. I love the integration, what they're doing. The other thing that they've added is offline mode. Mm-hmm. So if you take some of those samples and you say, you know, this particular sample looks good, I want to download it, that gets saved locally to a cache, and then you're offline. I used to be able to say you're on an airplane, but everyone's connected now on airplanes, or connectable if you want to.
As long as you're in Alaska.
Let's say you're in North Korea and you're coding, you want to be able to access your samples, this feature's for you.
Dozens of customers need that.
Yes.
Fantastic. So RTM of Katana 3. So our friend Vittorio doing a nice blog post. So there's two real keys on the Katana 3 announcement. The first one is basically full support for .NET 4.5 async await model, right? That obviously has significant performance improvements. We're doing things even in server-based scenarios. So it's not just client where you're talking about usability, the user getting feedback and making sure their app is not responding, for example, but also even on the server to make the best use of threads and performance. So second thing is the ability to have authentication. So the protocols they're supporting for Katana 3 are WS Federation, OpenID Connect, and OAuth2 bearer token authentication for web API. So if you're doing things like Azure Active Directory or these authentication models that you want this level of support, it's now built into Katana 3. And the other thing they did was included fixes for issues related to Twitter and Google API changes. Now, if you're looking at authentication, one of the things you really do want to do is get started. And they have a GitHub specifically on Azure AD samples that go through a number of these different scenarios. So just to kind of learn, you know, authentication can be something difficult to start with, but the team's made a really nice investment in the samples to help you get started.
All right. Excellent. I will pretend like I understood some of that. I'm really not an identity guy. I just email Vittorio anytime I have an identity question.
Like the rest of the company.
Exactly. Which brings us to the picks of the week.
Picks of the week!
My pick of the week, obviously, we've talked about Wordament being a great app. My wife, Elisa, she's addicted. She's always in the top 5%. Very proud of her.
Yes, which is very cool. Seriously.
Yeah. And they've taken the time to actually write up how they delivered Wordament. So this is a case study into how they build it both on the cloud aspect of the scenario, as well as the client side. So they actually use the Xamarin tooling as part of that. And then how they really run their business. How do they get telemetry? How do they understand how users are doing? They actually use Visual Studio Online as part of building Wordament. So this is just a really cool breakdown of all the different technologies that they are using.
This stuff is awesome. Total gold, because you get real world, like, you know, they need to scale up because everybody's playing kind of at the same time and scoring and you know, next game just starts. So just awesome stuff to read about.
Yeah, it's really cool to see how basically two Microsoft employees that built this app in their spare time, it's really kind of taken over as a life of its own and is one of the premier apps on the Windows marketplaces and available on iOS and Android as well. So really cool.
Using Xamarin.
Yeah.
My pick of the week is a new project video that came out, and it's real-time face tracking and projection mapping. So what this is doing is basically you can imagine like Connect, where you have points on a face, and what it can do is actually know where that point is and then do projection mapping. So I know in XYZ coordinate I'm going to light this up. So I could put, an X here. I could draw things on an eyeball and so on. So this could be obviously both in a digital image, mm-hmm. but this is actually the projecting directly onto somebody. So you have to see the video to check it out, but it's absolutely amazing the things you can do. And I kind of call it electronic makeup, if you will.
Cause yeah.
You know, anytime you're seeing somebody, we know exactly where those points are, so we can do a fill-in and do color and do all sorts of things. It's just an amazing and really almost beautiful, I would say, experience and mix of technology and art.
So it's like it's creating this real-time 3D model. So it's
no,
scanning
this is
you.
A person standing there.
Right. So the person, but then and then digitally, it creates a 3D model maps this stuff on top of.
Yeah.
Almost like an augmented reality.
So the way Kinect works is it basically has a mesh of the face, and there's over 100 different points, and then the triangles as well to basically map that 3D, and you can do specific things like get eyes, nose, and mm-hmm. and so on. And then you can basically map based on those XYZ coordinates.
Awesome. Yeah, like you said, you've got to check out
30
the video.
30 frames per second. Yeah, exactly.
It's really cool.
It's huge.
All right, we'll see you next week.
Thanks.